Guys, welcome to another great geek, another great edition of the Football Coaches Podcast, man. I'm here with my good friend, Coach Case, on the other side. What's up, brother?
What's up, Coach?
And today, we're going to do a little something. This has been like a little discussion we've been having for a long time, and he's going to give you his side of it. We're going to talk a little bit of how to stop power in his mind, you know, how if he was, I'm the offense guy, so it's always in your mind. But if he was playing me tomorrow, this is how he would stop power. We say, what, after I've hit you, what, for like 60 yards, four
rushes. All right, so as a whole, we're going to talk how to stop 20 personnel power. We're going to stay in the formation, what is most commonly referred to as king and queen. So two receivers to one side, and the we're gonna have a sniffer and a running back to the, you know, inside the core of the offense, and then receiver to the other side. We're gonna keep it a sniffer. It could be a fullback for you, depending on where you're from. It doesn't really change much. We can talk maybe at the end a little bit about 11 personnel and what changes when you do things of that nature. But need to be talked about is the intentions of power. What power is meant to do, you know, what is power even for our most basic, you know, I want to talk this up from a learner's perspective, from a young coach's perspective, to help give them the tools. And then obviously I got to talk the structure of how I build my base defense, because if not, you know, there's so many different ways to build a structured base defense that your blitzes are going to be built off of it. So everybody's blitzes aren't going to look identical. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a large menu of stop calls. And then you can use the ones that really make sense for your structure. For the most part, we're going to stay to keep it as basic as possible in a four down over and under. For guys that don't know what an over and an under is, so an over is going to be a three tech is going to be to the strength of the field. Okay. Where, and then you're going to have a two eye. So a inside guy that's inside shade of the guard into the weak side of the formation. Whereas an under, you're going to have your nose is a one tech to the strength. Whereas that three tech that was toward the strength in the over is now going to be into the weak side of the formation. Okay. What typically happens is in the under, when you add a tight end, they take the overhang, the field overhang, and they put him in outside shade of him and really choke him up. That's typically what happens. The under was really made back in the day to defend 21 personnel wing T stuff really well, or 22 personnel wing T stuff really well, because of the angles it creates. It is one of my favorite fronts, again, because of the angles, the tough angles it puts on offensive lines. And I like the ability, I actually like, and a lot of people don't do this, I like the ability of the under to give me those three, four, those odd front principles while still staying in a four down if I want to, giving me that flexibility, and I can divorce the backside, the back five from my front if I need to. Okay. And that's a topic for another day, but I want to make that very clear for what the structure of our defense is going to be. All right. So we're going to have a five tech to the strength side tackle. So if you don't know what it is, it's outside shade of the strength side tackle. We're going to have a bubble in between in the B gap. So in between the guard and the tackle, we're going to have our mic backer in a 30. So what a 30 is all you do for your numbers is you take, like if he's a three tech, you just add a zero to it. And that tells him that he's in depth. That's an easy communication system that you can teach your players to get aligned very quickly. Okay. So we're going to use that one for today to keep it, you know, keep it pretty simple and understandable. So my nose, there's two things you can do. Both of them have their benefits and their disadvantages. You can put your nose in what's called a two-eye. So that's on the inside half of your guard. So either way, he's still going to be an A-gap player. But on the inside half of the guard, as opposed to a one-tech, which is going to be on the outside half of the center, shaded, putting his hands on the center, it has its pluses and minuses depending on if you're seeing a ton of zone or a ton of power. And they're comparatively, because if you're pulling, I can get my hands on the guard, the pulling guard easier. right? I can get my hands to really control the puller if I'm expecting a ton of pull from that guard. There's a lot of different ways to do it, and I think that's a really an episode in and of its own. I think that'd be a good episode to talk about why you should be a shade instead of two-eye. I think that's a good future one. So while you're sitting there doing nothing, Coach, go ahead and write that one down for me.
Gotcha.
All right. So, studs, you have the frame. That can be from a one high or a two high. We're going to stay mostly two high. All right, my tackle is going to be in the three tech to the weak side. I call him a jack, but he's the boundary end. I call him a jack because it makes him feel like he's a linebacker and he can drop more often. I don't know. Gives him confidence, whatever you want to hear. He's going to play a lot off in certain formations, in certain structures if I have the right kid. But if I have a really crazy, great effort pass rusher, you know, great effort defensive end, he's probably going to play a lot, you know, a lot of times connected to the core of the offense. So we're going to line him up in six, okay? What that would mean, that would mean if he had a tight end, he would line up on him, but we call it a go six. So he has a little bit of separation, a little bit of space in between him and the tackle on that side. All right. So I think to stop anything, formations are just formations. It's the plays off of the formations that are important. So to stop anything, we need to understand what the play is trying to accomplish. All right, Coach. So I'm going to break down what the power play is, what the power is, the concept of power. And if I'm wrong anywhere, or if the intention of the offensive line or the offensive play caller is wrong, you kind of steer me right. But I think
trust
I'm in a good.
I got spot. You.
Yeah, I think I bet you do. I think I'm in a good. I think I have a good idea. I think that's the big key. If you really want to be a really good defensive coach, be a really good offensive coach.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's a really big key that people don't use that to their advantage a lot. The play intention of power is to overload you to one side by the lineman from one side of the formation to the other while hitting it very tight and creating a seam. All right, that seam is going to be created typically in between the A and B gap where the puller is going, okay?
Did you steal that from a definition or something? Because that was beautiful.
I know. I'm pretty freaking smart, Coach. Man, I'm really smart because I was really dumb, and I continue to be really dumb. And I just learn from really smart people. And the more that I learn from really smart people, I get smarter. That's the first key to being smart is knowing you're dumb. There's keys to life, DJ Khaled. All right, so the play intentions are the run intentions of this play is really important to understand. Where power goes wrong for offensive line and offensive coordinators and offensive play callers and offenses in general is when the A-gap power is forced to bubble or bounce. And if you don't know what I'm saying, it means I want to go vertically up this seam, and there's a ton of trash put there. So now I have to bow outwards. I have to go in a U pattern, right, at an angle to the outside into the alley of the defense.
Yes.
I think that's one of the first things to know. You want to get power moving east and west. Whereas a lot of guys, like say you were defending outside zone, big time wide zone, they want to go east and west. They want you to push east and west to get vertical. They're going to go east and west first. Power, however, is trying to get vertical very quickly. It wants to hit very fast. I think when ran really well, it's hit just as quickly as trap or some of those other variations. Okay? So the first thing I want to talk about is – this is coming from a former O-line, so I'm about to give out some secrets. The first thing I want to tell you, and this isn't even a stop call, okay? This is the overall general philosophy of defense. Offensive linemen have a ton of rules. They're going to tell you they don't, all right? They're going to be like, we don't have a ton of rules, Coach. We just have to block down if he's inside of us. But if he goes outside, I got to block out and think about going outside. But if he goes outside and then comes back inside, then I got to take it. You know, he has, we don't have that many rules. All right. So here's my biggest tip of the day for defensive coaches and young defensive coaches that want to be coordinators and want to learn. Teach your defense how to stem. Stemming is so cheap. It's so cheap. You create your formation list. I mean, not your formation list. Whew, I got offensive there for a second. Create your defensive fronts list, how you're going to structure your fronts. Have a couple of them. it's really easy to teach them how to line up. It's really easy, especially if they're, as long as they're playing the same fundamentals, it's really easy. So say you have the over and the under to start. Stem from the under to the over pre-snap. Coach, what is stimming? Stimming is Stimming is pre-snap, you're going to move your front. So I'm going to look, I'm going to start in the under, and then I'm going to shift into the over. Okay, so I'm going to be in a one tech if I'm the, you know, the nose, and then all of a sudden I'm going to move outside of the guard's shoulder. All right, it's going to change the rules of the defense. Over and under, maybe not so much, but that's a good place to start. Let me tell you one that's great. All right, say you're an over-under team. You stem into two-eyes. So you give your nose tackle to your strong side, your tackle to the strong side, goes from a three to a two-eye, and now I have two-eyes in the over front that I was just in. I've created two. Now a lot of guys, a lot of offensive linemen are going to determine because of your alignment who is pulling, especially in power, especially in power. And it's a good thing. It's not like that means they're a bad O-line. I think that's a mark of a good O-line. But I think it's a mark of a really good defensive coach that he can use the rules that he's learned from and then – yeah, exactly, and then exploit them. So if you line up like that, typically the backside guard's going to pull if you're in an over. But the second that you take your three-tech movement to a two-eye, they make a call that's going to force your guard is still going to pull regularly, but now he's got to force long pulls. So now you have to win. They have to win two down blocks in the direction of the pull. Does that make sense? So the center's got to block back on the backside 2-eye, wherever they're running it to, and then the guard has to block on the front side 2-eye.
Yep.
Okay. So another one that's really cheap is to be in that under and then do that. Because if you're in the under and then you go to the Indian, or some people call it the Indian front for the 2-eyes, just make sure we're on the same page. Because inside. So, say I'm in an under, I got that one and that three. A lot of guys are actually going to pull that center, especially if the nose to the strength is in a two-eye.
Yes.
He's going to pull the center. So, at the last second, the backside guard was supposed to base block onto the backside three-tech. He steps into a two-eye. Now they have to make that same call to make sure he pulls instead of the center. If they don't pick it up,
now you got you're
going to have a bust. They're going to have a bust. You're going to have a nose tackle running free. I'm not saying to do it to trick offensive linemen. I don't think that's a winning business model. What is a winning business model for me is forcing them to be on their best fundamentals, their best communication every play. All right? People do not understand how hard it is to coordinate a run game. So we want to stress them every single play. I akin it to using motion on offense. You want to stress the defensive structure and the offensive structures as much as possible because it's really cheap for you to do it as a defense, but it takes weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of practice to really build up that communication and trust for an offensive lineman. That's the first thing, okay, that we're going to talk about. That's stimming. The other way you can do it is say you're a under and you stim, you take that nose and you move into an odd or a tight front, what everybody's going to. Everybody loves it right now. So you take that one tech, he goes into a zero. If you want to know what a zero is, it's head up on the nose. Every even number is going to be head up on an offensive lineman or a tight end. And then I take my end and my tackle, my three tech and my five tech, and I put them in four eyes. Now the rules are going to change. You've really muddied up that inside, and the rules are going to change for power. Okay, they're going to have to do different things depending on every coordinator is different. Everybody's trying to figure out that front. Everybody has their stuff that's specially made for that front. But what's specially made for that front isn't specially made is actually kind of weak to the over.
Yes.
That makes sense. So start in that front and then move to your over. That's what I'm trying to get at. Stimming is so cheap, and it's going to get you so much. Outside of – that offensive linemen a lot of times jump. We did it a lot.
They see stem, yep.
And they stem, and the offensive linemen jump off sides. That's 5 yards. All right, so why do you want to have stop calls for certain schemes, including power, okay? The first thing is, obviously, you can stop power without using a blitz or a certain changing your front, your fits. You can block it. You can defend it with your regular fits, all right? Obviously, you got to do it properly. There's no doubt. You can go back – and look at our Linebacker Reads podcast that we did about a week ago, and it'll show you, you know, how I teach our linebackers to fit up power. Almost, I'll break it down almost perfectly for you how easily it is to defend it. But sometimes you don't have the ponies, okay? You don't have the same ponies as the offensive lineman, and you need to move because we can't take them on one-on-one in a base box situation. So we need to use movement. We need to use our abilities, what we have in our toolkit, what we're really good at. The second reason that I'm big on it is, say it's first and 10. The best way to mess up a spread offense is to get them into second and 12.
Yes.
You're going to hear it a lot of times as we go through the years of this podcast. I am a huge pressure guy. I believe in it. Okay. I would rather give up 10 yards on the negative 25 and they be on the negative 35. I would rather do that because I blitzed out of something than just sit in my base and let you beat me. Because eventually
I'll walk you down the field.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm on the negative side, I especially love, because 10 yards doesn't mean much to me. Whereas negative 2 yards for the offense means a ton.
A lot.
Yes. So second 12 is what I'm looking for. And this can be backed up by college and high school. I know there's a Kirby Smart clinic going around that says that every time they got a TFL points on the drives, they got TFLs. So that's a tackle for loss. The percent of those drives that scored went under like 15%. Whereas the ones they didn't get a tackle for loss, it was like 45 or 50%. That's a big difference. That's a very large difference in points over the course of a game. You get, you know, 8 or 9 to 10 drives a game. So we want to make sure that we jump ahead of them, get them off schedule. That's why I really like stop calls. The last one is you're having issues handling a certain play, or you're going into the week and you know you're going to see this play. Say you come up and you know you're going to see 20 personnel, 2-back power, all right, strong and weak. We want to have calls that's going to get us to get them to lose yards, all right? We want to cause TFLs for the reasons that I just stated before. And we know what we're going to see. Teams have – that's where, you know, game planning and tendency breakdowns are really important. All right? So, for our stop calls, we're finally going to get to them. Coach has been like, dang, we're going like 20 minutes, and Coach ain't said one thing these guys can use. All right. So, play pen and pad, and we'll start going through them. The first one, and we're going to talk because of my structure and a two high, what's typically going to happen is an offense is going to come at my 3-tech and my 6-tech to the weak side, because I only have, if you take
numbers.
Yeah, if I take a center line, I'm an unbalanced defense because I'm a quarters guy. And I know that. I have to know that if I'm defense. You're not a defensive guy. You're not a defensive coach until you understand what hurts your defense. Okay? It ain't about calling a defense. It's about fixing a defense. So, knowing that, I know I'm going to get weak side power. Weak side power is a great play anyway. All right? And that's why I love the under to start, because the under still gives me that 3-tech into the weak side to really create a wall. The first call we can do is make a full line slant away from the back. So not towards the back. So if the back's on the defensive left, we're going to call the slant going in the direction he's going to run. So we're going to call a slant right. Okay? That's going to full line slant movement. Okay? Everybody's going to go one gap over. And my jack doesn't need to unless he gets a 6. I mean, he gets a tight end. He's not going to get a tight end. He's probably going to get a sniffer back there. All right, so I don't want him to widen any. That's going to be a game plan thing. I don't need him to widen anything because I don't want to make that kick out by the H that's coming at him open up that big old C gap.
Yeah.
Okay, because we want to spill everything and get it to go sideways like we talked about. That's the Achilles heel of power, is if you can go east and west as compared to vertically. So that's the first call. We're going to slant towards it. Okay. And that can be out of an over or under. That's up to you. I really like it from the under, but you can do it out of the under or out of the over with no issue. Okay. The second part is to take one of those overhangs you have, because you still have an overhang if you're in a too high front to your weak side. That's your boundary safety, whatever you call me. You've got a jillion names, depending on who you ask. All right? He's technically your weak side force player in quarters, especially when there's only one receiver and an H-back on his side, because we're still getting power to that side. You're going to want to call that same slant, but to the back. So instead of away from the back in the direction he's going, you call it to, and you're going to bring that guy off the edge, okay? So you're going to bring, so for us, it would be, we're on the strong side. So say they're into the boundary with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a nose to the field. We got our star to the field, our strong side overhang. Our Mike's in the B, our Will's in the A, our tackle's in the B gap, and our Jack's going to be that C gap player. We're going to slant opposite of it. So my nose is going to go into the B, my tackle's going to go into the A, and my Jack's going to try to come underneath the tackle. What did that create, Coach?
I'm sorry.
Pop quiz. So the nose is going to go into the B, my tackle, my weak side three tech's going into the A, and my Jack is coming into the B gap.
We're in a, we just talked about it. Under front, sorry.
Well, yeah, technically, other than my Jack coming in, it is an under front. You can do that. We'll talk about that. We can talk about that blood stuff. But it's going to create that bear look, okay? Because now I'm going to bring my boundary safety, whatever you want to call them, off the edge. The key is if the tackle can get down on their play side tackle can get down on my Jack and he closes off the B, go off his butt end. Make sure the kicking out puller, the H, the sniffer, whatever you want to call him, so we call him an owl, is going into my outside hip. I'm spilling it, what people call spilling.
Right.
Because it's going to force it east and west. I'm going to close up the hole that my guard's going to have while he pulls.
He's
so my guard's
for,
wrapping.
Right.
And it closes with a tackle. So now he's going to check into the Jack. And my Jack's closing it, making a muddy, muddy mess, right? My nose is going – one of my keys is my nose is pulling, so he's got to redirect. What's typically going to happen is the center is going to be able to get back on him, but I'm trading that's a tough block now for the guard, the play side tackle. And it's a tough block for that guy going away. So I'm fine with that. My mic should be spilling over the top, should be overlapping. Because his guard's pulling, you go back again to our linebacker reads because he's playing his regular old technique. That's the great thing about the Mike and the Will. They just need to push opposite the direction of the slant. So he's going to spill and overlap, and my Will is going to do the same thing. Now I have one inside the puller, one outside the puller, and my Will is my cap fit. Okay? So now he's a free man. So they're going to have to bounce it outside, and we're going to hit him. All right, another one that I really like from the over. So I know from the over, I'm still going to be unbalanced, but now I've kind of double rotated myself in a way by putting my three tech at the same side as my six players. Okay, so I know for a fact this is me going, hey, we're going to line up into this, guys, because I know that offensive coordinator across the field is going to go, oh, well, they only got five, and they're giving me a two eye and a five technique to them. Okay. We're going to run what we call a wax stunt, okay? So it's going to tell the 2-eye – I mean, I'm sorry. It's going to tell my 2-eye on the backside to go across the face of the center. So we're still running weak side power. He is going to, on the snap of the – on the indicator, so as they get close about the snap, he's going to stem into a 1, just like we talked about stemming. And then he's going to take a slant step across the face of the center. The center should take him up. The key here is what's going to happen is my guard that's pulling in that direction, and we need to teach our nose tackle to get vertical movement on this so that when that happens, he can pick that guard. Okay? He's just going to – he doesn't have to fully cut him off. I don't want him to think he – yeah, and I don't want him – I don't want my nose to think he's some sacrificial lamb. He's still in the play. He's going to redirect back once he feels guard pull. He's basically
any kind of vertical movement, I would say this on power, it's a killer.
Because it's going to force you to go east and west. So it's absolutely correct. But the key of it is I'm going to take, now that I'm in that, because I'm in that three tech, my three tech should be spilling, should be trying to pull with it. And he's going to get overlapped by the center taking it. So he's going to bend hard. He's probably not going to get there, but he's not going to allow you to cut back on it. He's kind of become a cutback player in that way. The key to it, the really cool part, is we're bringing that Will right off that nose's ass. That nose that's crossing face, I want him to come fast off the edge, and he is going to flatline that puller or that back because the puller's probably been picked. If he doesn't pick the puller, we're still going to hit that puller in the mouth with the Will.
Mm-hmm.
Going to hit him hard mouth, make him go east and west again. All right, and that's going to allow my mic to spill over the top. and that's going to allow my jack to handle the spill, to spill the H, forcing it all the way back out, making a bloody mess, just a muddy, just trench of crap for both my mic and my boundary to the strength side to go 2-on-1 on the back as I've pushed it east and west. It's also a really good stunt if they decide to go strong power against your overfront. So say I have the same thing, but now the backside guard is pulling the guard that's to my boundary or to my my 2-eye. He's going to go stem down to the 1 again, slant across the center's face, and then that wheel is going to come right off his ass again in our whack stunt. That's going to a lot of times leave that wheel unblocked, and all we got to do is create a good enough wall on the front side with our 3 and our end that it stops. It just has to slow up the back's movement. So if the back isn't moving vertically, he's going to get creamed because that nobody's probably going to block that wheel. The chances of that guard getting on that wheel are highly unlikely. Well, actually, tackle, I'm sorry. Getting on that wheel are highly unlikely. And the guard's pulling. So the guard's pulling there. So I really like it against strong side power. It's also good. So you're probably going to get it if you take that boundary safety and rotate them down, and then you screw back over the free safety, you get into what I call cover 6. So cover 6 is just the weak side cover 3. You're definitely going to get that play to the 3 technique. So I think that's a really good stunt. So you've got a couple in your hand. You can run wax. All right. You can slant to the back. You can slant away from the back. My next one is one of my favorite blitzes that we run. We call it Mahomes because we build all of our 5-man pressure patterns off quarterbacks. But Mahomes has an M and an A, so it tells, you know, who's doing what, right? So what's going to happen is we're going to start in an under. We're going to do it in an under first. So I got an under, so I have a 3 and a jack to the H, and they're going to run weak side power. My nose is going to cross face just like he did on the last one, right? So he has learned nothing new. He hears Mahomes. He goes, all right, I'm running wax. So my mic is going to come off his ass just like the wheel did on the last one. All right, since my mic was in the B, and I'm screaming him right off the nose's butt. So what's going to happen there is it's the same exact stunt as before. So they've learned nothing new. Nothing new at all. One of two ways, no matter which way the power comes, it should pick off any pullers. Because I'm basically putting myself into a bear front post-snap, if that makes sense.
Perfect. Yeah, no, that makes sense because one thing I hate from defense is to try to run power, and I get a 5-man front. It kills
exactly.
That play.
Exactly. It's basic. That's basically what it's doing. Now, you go, well, coach, okay, so you did that. Now you have a nose in the weak side A, you have a tackle in the weak side B, a jack in the weak side B or weak side C, and then you have your boundary safety as your overhang to that side, and now your mic's going through the strong side A. Where is your wheel going? So that's what makes this really, really versatile. Our wheel is going to plus over on the snap of the ball into the far side B, the strong side B. So technically, he's a strong side B blitzer. He is not going to blitz unless there is a open, cloudy, clear, open window. Just like we talked about in that linebacker reads, I cannot implore you enough to go back and look at that linebacker reads podcast and listen to it. Because it's exact. He doesn't have to blitz unless it's a wide open. He can keep scraping over the top for some reason if something, some kind of window closes up because of what they do. Okay, because what could happen is the tackle could bust and see that mic come screaming down, go to take that mic, and then the end come off the tackle's butt because the end's top block down, step down. He blocks down, I'm going to step down. So now I got an end that's unblocked. But you never know what's going to happen to him one-on-one with a back. You know, regardless of where the back's moving, you never know what's going to happen one-on-one with the back in a short space of area. But there's no window there, so he shouldn't just cram himself into that gap. He should scrape over the top of the tackle and replace where the end was. So he can get all the way starting on the weak side A all the way to the strong side C with our Mahomes stunt. So the last couple ones is we just call it plug. Okay? So plug, yep. And the kids remember it because for some reason the plug is cool. I don't know what that means. But it's easy for them to remember. We just do a plug. All a plug is very, very much how it sounds. You're going to take the mic and the wheel, and they're going to blitz their respective gap. Okay? It's very simple. That is a stop call as much as it gets. Now, high risk, high reward, obviously, because I don't have the ability to scrape over the top. But if I can pick any pullers or do anything, I'm in a great position. That's another stop call answer for power.
Pick pullers.
It'll pick pullers, and it's going to force the issue. It's going to make it bounce out to your players. Because you're still going to have your strong side overhang, your weak side overhang, your free safety who can help you fill. You still have a corner. You could run any kind of thing from it if you wanted to run some kind of cover two, or a hot pressure. That's another podcast. One that I really like is out of that double two out of Indian front.
Mm-hmm.
So you stem to it. This is a really good stop call. You stem to it and you run. You can go in there and look online. It's exactly where I got it from Blitzology. It's called a torch stunt. So what a torch stunt is it means the tackles are reading. So T, tackles, reading, the R and torch, the center, the C. So what it means is both of them are going to be in their 2-I, and they're both going to step, like they're slanting at the center's butt. All right, both of them. So what's going to happen is whoever gets the center is going to loop around. So he's going to step at the center. The center comes at him. He's going to loop around. Okay, he's going to try to cross his face. The guy that goes – that doesn't get the center's face, so the center's backside, he gets the center's butt, he's coming right off his butt and pursuing to the ball. What it's going to do is it's going to make the center wrong no matter what.
No matter what.
And it's going to use up all three interior blockers. It's going to use up the guard because typically if he steps down opposite – wherever the opposite direction he steps down, that's where the guard's pulling from in power. So you have a good chance of picking it or even beating him across or getting in front of the puller. If you get in front of the puller, he has to block you, right? I'm not wrong there, coach.
Don't let nobody cross your face. Don't run past nobody.
Exactly. O-line. Sound like an old O-line coach there. Nobody nobody goes past your face. If he goes and gets picked up by the puller, guess who's not getting blocked?
He is free. That backer is
Scott. That backer is Scott free.
Him and nobody.
That's what we call canceling gaps. So technically, there's two gaps there, but we just – so technically, there's two defenders there, I'm sorry, and we canceled three gaps doing it because they brought another gap over. They took a gap away over here, and now we've taken up all three of them by pulling a guy. You could do that. You could decide to make that – whether you wanted to make that a read or a regular call, so – to make it a regular call, you would just call – I call it tank, tackle, and nose. The tackle from the three tech is going to go in hard to the A, trying to get to the opposite A, squeezing that center's backside, and then the nose is going to wrap around.
Wrap around the front, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to wrap around to the front. And it's not about him getting there, but he's just going to keep overlapping to the front. Another one.
Oh, they're getting good stuff. They're getting it all.
We're going to create a menu. I'm not telling you.
It all. I love it.
I am not telling you what to use. I'm telling you this is the menu of stuff that you can run to stop the power play, mainly weak and strong side power. So another one, I call it wolf, meaning the W is outside. So it's exactly how, if you put in your picture, if I put my wolf, who's an A-gap defender on in the under, out to the outside, there's somebody out there, right, coach? There's already somebody in that gap. So he has to do what? Step inside, right? Well, if he steps inside of the B, that there's somebody in his gap, correct? In that B gap already. He's going to step into the A. All right. A lot of people call this a pirate or a pinch stunt. I call it pinch if it's from both sides. So if we were to take the end and go into the B and things of that nature and brought the mic off the end, that would be a pinch stunt for me. So that very quickly is going to cause that H – to cave down because he's supposed to be kicking out that jack on weak side power. He's going to cave down. We're going to trade 2 for 1. The wheel is going to replace right over the top of him into a quasi C-gap, D-gap conglomerate. We're looking to create a pile that's going to funnel things right out to the wolf pressure that we're bringing. All right? Should be noted, though, when you do that, the wheel still needs to spill. If the puller was to get all the way stretched out to him, which would be, a very good thing, he needs to spill it, all right? So he needs to take him on his outside shoulder and make it continue to bubble because he still has a guy outside of him
to force
in the boundary of safety. Yeah, that he can force it to, exactly. That's another great, 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 great call for power. All right,
Once again, as an O-line coach, anything, if you're creating a pile of penetration, I am probably on the sideline pulling my hair out screaming at the top of my lungs. Just so.
All right, so I only got one more, and it's really simple. Pincher, it's Saban calls it 90 rush tight safety, but you can run it from any front. So they run it from their odd, from their three head ups. You can run it from any front. Bring two overhangs off the edge. All right. You bring two overhangs off the edge. They're gonna have to spill it to it. You're gonna equate the numbers right back. What's gonna happen is no matter which way they pull, your mic and your wheel are gonna be really hard to get onto because you're creating basically a 5-2 post snap. Okay, so it's gonna be really difficult for them to get up to your backers. So they just have to scrape over. So if you have really good backers that are really good at overlapping and scraping over the stop and finding that open window and making tackles in the phone booth, that's a great pressure. Really simple, really easy to install, but it is a great pressure. The other one, the last couple ones you can do, I don't know if anybody knows what America's Blitz is. So America's Blitz is you're going to bring a guy off the edge. You're going to take your 5-tech and slam them all the way into the A. You're going to take whatever you have, typically a nose on that side. So it's either weak if you're in the over or strong if you're in the under, and you're going to slam to the opposite side. And then you're going to bring a guy out, that guy off the edge, and your backer to that side. If you can know that that's coming, like if you know for sure I'm getting weak side, you know, strong side power, and I'm in an over front, and I bring that blitz opposite the back, right? Because that H is going to have a hard time. He's going to, no matter what, whoever he chooses, he's going to be incorrect. All right, and you're going to equate numbers to that spot. So that's a really, really good pressure. I like to rotate with it, either with your corner or your safety into a 3-deep, 3-under, or a 4-under, 2-deep. Both of those are really good. Coach, I think I've nailed about everything I got for the power play.
Not gonna lie to you. It's a lot, but the good thing from what it sounds like, honestly, we've talked about it, it's only changing what, a few people, one or two.
Every time. You know, that's my key. I truly think this is a coaching philosophy. This isn't a defensive or offensive philosophy. If you can create the fundamentals and keep those fundamentals across multiple schemes I put schemes in air quotes that you want to run, you can do a lot of stuff. You can't have your guys doing different fundamentals every week. Okay? You can't have them doing things that they don't do every week. I think you can run power 600 million ways. All right? We didn't even talk power read today. I think there's different stop calls for power read. Okay? There's a lot of things you can do, but you have to make it easy to learn for your team.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for our power stop game on today. Remember, if you have any questions, if there's any kind of language that we may have said, that he may have said, that didn't sound familiar, or you don't know exactly what he's saying, feel free, you know, anytime to ask. We all use sometimes different lingo, and, you know, we all say stuff different, but mean the exact same. Mm-hmm. And also, remember, we're all here to help each other. I'm here to help you. He's here to help you. He's helping me. I'm helping him. We're all helping each other. Because at the end of the day, we're all just trying to be good football coaches and win ball games. All right? Mm-hmm. So anything that we can do to help you guys, let us know. Anything. And obviously, you can help us by giving us feedback. If there's something you want to hear us talk about, please let us know. Like he said, he came up with an idea in the middle of one. So if there's anything you want to hear us talk about, just let us know. Follow me on Twitter at CoachWStock. That's on Twitter. And then follow Coach Kaysen at First Gen Coach, one, ST Gen Coach, and also follow us on YouTube. We have a YouTube page called Both Sides of the Ball. It's a lot of more diagrams, talking and walking through stuff, but it's fun. And I think also you actually talk on one of them about America's Blitz. So if you want to see what that look like, go and actually look on there, and then he'll tell you a lot more about it. But that's it. We appreciate you guys for listening, and you guys be safe.
Thank you for your time, guys. You have a great day.